Ich gehöre zum Zachäusverein. Sind die Leute, die klein sind von Gestalt und darum musste unser werter Bruder...
Wilhelm Busch was to stand here. Pastor Wilhelm Busch, I am only here to retake his place. Pastor Wilhelm Busch, this year, after having served in East Germany, after having suddenly was called home, he was an evangelist filled with the mercy, the blessing of God. He was a burning torch of the gospel. On the other hand, he was quite an amusing person. He was an irregular verb, really. God bless him in his community and all those servants among the evangelists and fighters who have given us their blessing and whose example we try to follow, who have inspired us, because we are blessed mainly through communication of existence, through the observation and seeing of a power of belief which has been lived out of a priestly existence. This morning, the Bible message is to be considered from the point of view of the high calling of the servants of God. We do not speak of the high calling of God's children, as they are all children and heirs and kings and whatever they are called in the New Testament. We are speaking of those who are servants of God and therefore have a high calling, those that God has made protagonists in his work, who are to be the sort of foremen in those who lay the foundations. We are not going to speak about a special text from the Bible, but I want to act eclectically in just taking a few of these names that are given to the servants of God and looking at those. We were sitting in an express train going from Zurich to Cologne. Our friend Dr. Bergmann and I, whom we had the pleasure of hearing on the eve of Reformation Day, and I myself, were returning with joyful hearts from a joint ministry in Zurich. We had been at the Börsensaal in Zurich. That afternoon we sat down to a cup of coffee in the restaurant car. Suddenly one of three well-groomed ladies at the next table asked us. They did not wear rings, costume jewelry or whatever it was. And suddenly one of them asked us, "Excuse me, but may I ask why you are so happy?" Whoever knows our friend Dr. Bergmann knows that one very soon feels that he is happy, that he is lucky, someone who feels lucky and happy. And we were really quite happy. We had an exchange of views. We had felt so deeply the love of God, which fills our heart with happiness and gratefulness. "Why are you so happy?" the lady asked. "Have you just made a very good business deal, or are you about to make one?" This was interesting. It was interesting that at least in Western Germany, and perhaps also in Western Europe, when you see a man who looks happy and jolly, you immediately think this must be connected with financial blessings. That is to say, he must have made a hit on the pools or the... And my answer was, we are not connected with business. We are not salesmen. And I'm sure I could sell hot dogs, but I would never know how to set up an account. We are happy because we know Jesus. A look of astonishment spread over their faces. A long discussion followed concerning faith, forgiveness, hope, living. A discussion that continued later in another coach. The lady who had asked the question, Mrs., was the wife of Emmerich Kallmann, the famous composer of operas and operettas, and she was en route to a gala performance in Cologne, which was to be presented in honor of her deceased husband. Now, this story comes to mind when, in connection with my first point, I want to say, those who serve God are helpers of joy. Paul expresses this in the 2 Corinthians 1, verse 24. Not that we have dominion over your faith, but are helpers of your joy. The gospel means that it is glad tidings. It means to have a happy face. We do not offer shoestrings, and we need not flatten our noses against the windows of the world and try to get offer our things. We have the most wonderful message to give, which concerns heaven and earth and time and eternity. The gospel means great joyous methods. I announce to you great, great, great joy. For rejoice in the Lord always, at all places. This is where what Paul writes in prison. Not from his home at his desk. Wherever the gospel is received in faith, great joy bursts forth. And I must say this. In these days, I was deeply moved when I heard you sing and I had heard witness the papers presented, the contributions made by those who come from the other parts of the world, that I've felt or saw something of this engaged joy and happiness, which there is a platonic sort of happiness with a sort of rather too cool, I think it's called an understatement in English, says the speaker. You are considered to be too emphatic if you just demonstrate your joy too briskly, too. Your gospel means I may be happy and skip for joy and rejoice and let us skip and dance happily. I am so glad from my very heart that my beloved one is the A and O. This is why I clap my hands. This is in an old song. This is personified joy. And have forgiveness of my sins through Jesus' blood. Where under the cross of joy I can take the oath and will receive full reconciliation with God. Therefore, from now on, my life may always be filled with the joy of living granted to the children of God. And if there were no reason for joy, no earthly reason for joy, the fact alone that God has mercy upon me is enough to, until the very last day, allows me to laugh and be happy. I have a home that is important for all times, just out of the sheer kindness and mercy for the sake of Jesus, because one man died for me, gave his life for me. This is why Betzel, who was such a blessed president of the church, said, every sermon should sound forth, Gaudio, Gaudete. This means, I rejoice, rejoice with me. And this in joy-hungry world, where people try in all possible ways to organize something to bring about happiness, very doubtful kind of happiness, lasting joy can be found only in Jesus. Therefore, we as collaborators of God may be helpers of joy even in everyday life, even when we're not on duty, to put it that way. We may be helpers of joy, and today in a time where people are skeptical against power's words, we still, as the helpers of joy, may draw attention to Jesus, may bring people closer to Jesus also in everyday life. And there must be a sense of humor also. There is a sense of humor stemming from the Holy Spirit. Hans Brandenburg one day said, God has created us as very special people. I'm a little more than a sort of freak myself. It is a good thing if someone may laugh at himself and see the joke against himself, and this is only possible if you feel that you are an individual that died with Jesus and no longer you need be so deadpan serious. Second thing, cooperators of God's are hosts of the gospel. Our surroundings are just an example to illustrate this. We can learn from all things that happen, even as God's servants. As Weston has once said, we always are allowed to make hay. Reading the paper, going through the town, looking at show windows, listening to conversations, all the time you are allowed to make hay for the gospel. When one is a good head waiter, the way he offers you your meal makes the food more tasty by the way it is served. When one said, there's your food, well, the food would be less tasty, wouldn't it? You must feel that the taste is good before you've tasted. When the head waiter offers you the menu from which to choose, you must already feel that the dishes will be succulent. There are patients in hospitals who are half healed when one certain doctor enters their room. Well on their way to recovery, because from this man emanates the atmosphere of an internal happy superiority. And thus Paul says of himself in Romans 15, verse 16, a minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God. You can translate this a little more freely if you want to say, offering the gospel of God to those that are interested. The apostle interprets his task as serving the glad tidings of the gospel to the people. He says in Corinthians 9, he says that he would like to offer, if possible, to offer everything to all so that he may win their hearts. Therefore, you have to be have a lot of imagination in order to be able to make the gospel acceptable and to make it as digestible to the next man as possible, without, however, in any way deteriorating the message. We, as the cooperators, as the servants of God, are people who, through the way in which they transmit the message, make it easier for others, make it simpler for others to hear and understand God's word. This spirit of serving love comes from the worship of Jesus himself. Romans 15 Christ did not find pleasure in himself. He did not like himself much. For this reason, we too should not be too pleased with ourselves, but we should like to live so that it pleases our neighbor. In Germany, we say that in theology, one should be lean over towards your neighbor. You should always be full of attention. During the whole day, you should watch out for your neighbor and try to lean towards him. Now, when a host receives his guests with great attention, when he offers you a cutlet, how much more attention should we, the hosts of gospel, to give? I am a host, my dear brothers and sisters, and I have to offer the best possible dish to people, this food which will remain with us until all eternity. And as one of those who has received this from God himself, may be passed on. I heard one of the brothers yesterday say from this very pulpit, woe if we as people with empty hearts approach people who are equally empty. We as the evangelists, we can only really transmit the message if our heart overflows with the bounty of this message. Not what we can sort of accept, we can transmit. What overwhelms us is the important thing. That Debellius once said, human beings in our skeptical generation will accept only that which flows out of our very hearts because it is overflowing. That's why we've got these so many troubles. We have those who can be over-enthusiastic, who can emphasize things. God is greater than our heart. This is the holy comparative of mercy. This weight which overwhelms us and which comes down on us. And for this reason, what we have received at first hand is something which we may hand on fresh. We are no lecturers who are at a certain distance from the subject they have to teach. We are those who have been filled to overflowing with this message, and we must pass it on. Woe us if, as sales representatives, as sales agents, we would just offer soap at the door, soap which they don't use for washing themselves. And this is what people immediately feel, whether the water of life which we offer them has been drunk by us ourselves, or whether we're just offering it to others. Whether we have been filled to saturation with the rich goods, Psalm 36:9, you make us drunken. Youth is to be drunk without wine. To live as a child of God is being drunken through the strength of the Holy Spirit. And therefore, in an old church regulation, it was, let us drink joyfully the sober drunkenness of Holy Spirit. Those who receive the joyous message want to feel, they want to be made to feel that we have been abundantly satisfied with what we've received and whether we speak as those whose hearts overflow. A man of God once said, we are beggars that have been satisfied and that we can tell the others where to go to find food to nourish them. And thirdly, we are divinely appointed stewards with authority for distribution. First, we are helpers of joy, hosts of the gospel, divinely appointed stewards with authority to distribute. the household of antiquity, knew nothing of free domestic helpers that we know today. All servants were bond slaves. In a larger household, an overseer slave or steward, this is an example which in the 1 Corinthians number 4 is used by the apostle when he says, designate us, we are stewards of God. We are stewards of the mysteries of God. Servants of God are assigned a special place of trust within the church. They have this special place of trust. The steward, head slave, had to give work to the other slaves. He was a slave himself. He wore the slaves' garments, but he told one of them, you'll take the children to school. To the other, they said, you will look after the animals today. You will do the cooking this morning. And the fourth, perhaps, he said, you are going to run errands for our master. A slave who, however, had authority to organize work among the other slaves. And the servants of God are there with that special place of trust, so that they may encourage others and that they may call others in to help and may give them tasks and set them tasks after listening to God's wishes. They may ask them to perform certain functions under God's will. They have a special, they hold a key position of influence if they're allowed to distribute work. What they do not arrange, for no doubt, remains undone. If they put the brakes on, when of course the other group will put the brakes on as well, the same as a foreman of a bricklayer's team, when he is tired, you mustn't wonder if the whole team is very lackadaisical in performing its duties. We always live from observation. Pestalozzi, the great pedagogue, said, observation is the and not the intentional teaching, but observation and watching and looking at functional life and taking counsel and taking advice from this. Cooperators of God are foremen. And a whole group will follow their example. Paul sometimes can say, look at me, look at those who are your examples, look at those who work with you and for you. Dear brothers and sisters, this is from where you can come to study very carefully. Can a pastor, I mean a pastor of a community, can he die happily? Can he die joyfully? Can he die happily, looking on all the things which he has omitted to do and which through his fault, and this is a chain reaction, have been neglected by others as well? We bear more responsibility than the other brothers and sisters, because we have made servants and collaborators of God in his community. We salute such God who have, in the church history, whom God used to initiate and introduce great movements. Hudson Taylor became the founder of the China Inland Mission. Moody became Kim among the evangelists last century, and William Booth, who became the founder of the Salvation Army. I would like to salute all those from the Salvation Army quite specially. Let no one doubt the fact that desires to do a great work through him is written over the house where Luther was born. This is not meant in the sense of being arrogant about it or proud. This means, as much as you believe, so much will you have. It is not God's will that we should just go along with our filling task and fiddle around day by day. We should start living in a big way, helped by God's Spirit. Even this is not well known publicly, but in the sense of very active and dynamic work that we undertake. We see in these years how God has made Brother Billy Graham as an evangelist in the world. This is something which deeply moves us, that this World Congress of Evangelism is possible, has been made possible. Dear brothers and sisters, who of us in any country would have dared organize such an event? This is an event of Pentecostal importance and force, a World Congress on Evangelism. This has never existed before. I am sorry for every man of God who was unable to assist here. How great is the responsibility who are witnesses of these hours, who have heard all the messages, who were here yesterday, over the day, yesterday, last night. This was really giving us the Holy Spirit, and this is what we live upon, not on theological kneading of bread, but from the acts of the Holy Spirit. They are human beings who, through their example, infect others and affect others. Those are people who are those who ignite holy fires in the hearts of others. For this service, ecumenical service, God has called his servants, his collaborators, people who have authority for distribution, who may call others into larger groups and give them work which is more or less influential. Such service can only come from prayerful dependence and obedience against in respect of the impulses of the Holy Spirit. And very frequently it will be so that God will seem to get his collaborators into his realm through the back door, not those who are the gifted ones, not those where everyone expects them to do great things, will be given this authority. God will very frequently take people who are worth nothing as theologians to carry out his will and his intentions in the practical life of this world. Show whom you have chosen, selectors from our group. We are all of us yours. This is an old hymn which says this. And from these stewards, God says, Paul says, one does not want more of them from these sons, but that they may be found faithful. This is Corinthians 4. Tomorrow it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. For we are oarsmen in Christ's boat. To describe the Church of Jesus Christ as the boat of Christ has a biblical basis and is frequently expressed in Christian art. This begins with Noah's Ark and has its New Testament counterpart in the boat of the disciples on the stormy sea where Jesus stilled the storm and the waters. There we also think of Paul's words in 1 Corinthians 4, 1, provides a fitting description of the servants of Christ. He says, Hyperite, these are oarsmen of Christ. Paul is thinking of the ancient galleys where many slaves, often chained to their rowing stations, rowed in unison as the coxswain beat out the time. Because the coxswain beat out the time and make their movements together. Every day, every hour, every moment means just one movement of the oars. What a striking picture. A servant of God is a sailor for Christ, whose task consists of rowing in Christ's boat and for Christ's boat. And God
Neben dem
very frequently does not undertake his work through public events, but many things are done in secret through events which are not easily visible, sometimes in such a way that there is just a human relation with kindness. God can use everything, every little stone for building his big house. You may use everything, as Swedish Spurgeon has said, make hay all the time. Only you have to be watchful all the time. You must see the open doors and you must use them. And no human being can be, to no man can we be indifferent who lives in our neighborhood. And it is always something which hurts us if a man that we have seen only just for a minute, when in addition to what, to the meeting, the pleasant way, because we are pleasant people, that we cannot take the time or have not the opportunity to bring to him the message of God. It is something which always hurts us, which saddens us, because we want to tell all people, we want to call out to everyone that we belong to God. And God one day will ask us, when we stand before his throne, he will ask us about the human beings in our neighborhood, including the postman and the man who brings the coal, whether in our way we made it easier for them to become aware of Jesus. But we are assistant architects for a special building section of the Kingdom of God. Here, the church is considered as a building in Ephesians 2:19, and following as well in other places. The New Testament speaks of the construction of this building in which all of us are living stones. Also, the first letter of Peter, we are living stones. But in 1 Corinthians 3:10, Paul speaks of himself as the architect who helps, architect in Greek, who helps build upon Jesus the foundation. It admonishes the collaborators to be careful how they build upon this foundation. How do they intend to build on this foundation? The servants of God are therefore not only living stones in the house of God, but are also supervisors and foremen. Because we are supervisors, really. There we read the word episkopos, which in Greek means building supervisors. In the Roman life, those were public servants who had to see how buildings went on, to see where things moved on and where things were neglected, and they had to announce this. What an important picture when Paul calls the bishops episkopos and the elders. We have more than others to bear the responsibility, more than others who are not. We as episcopals are responsible for supervising, reporting, building progress. We have to do this in our special section. Every single one of us has a special section for which he is responsible and where God has sent him to work. Church, state church, free church, evangelism, deaconry, foreign mission, youth work. God does no longer. He does no more want than that they be faithful and loyal, and according that they work according to the rules laid down for building this church. If the construction supervisor does his work sluggishly, the danger exists that the entire group of bricklayers will become weary. Exactly the same as the foreman works, the others will work. He is important for the spirit of all his neighbors. What a responsibility this is for the leading men of God in the building of his kingdom. Six, we are coming towards the end. Six, we are under shepherds of the great shepherd. In Peter 5:2 says, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oath, because we are members of the flock, but we have been asked to
Watch this, Locke. Not every member of God's body has this. We have been given this task. This is something which makes us feel very humble. He has found us faithful so that we now be given this task. God has expressed his trust in us. And how that drives us to become ever more humble. We want to justify, and we do not want to disappoint the trust you have set in us. And we very often do disappoint you. So you, when the chief shepherd will come, you will receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Now this is so wonderful. Because we have through the loving care of Jesus that he himself experienced, the servant of God is able to perform this work of awakening love. Due to the pastoral experience of Jesus with our soul, I myself, as a servant of God, may now serve God. And Zillinger one day said, we may consummate the fulfillment of Christi in the way in which we are wide awake to the love of the shepherd. Feed the flock of God which is among you. Think about your brother and your sister in prayer during the nights. Try to watch when you look at the faces in your Bible group. Think of the members of your community. Then you have time. I know a pastor who on Saturday night walks through the streets in his community and stood still in front of every house and prayed for every one of his members of the community every Saturday night. This was his pastoral work. And even if we do not walk through the streets bodily, we may and we must visit our community again and again in our minds, in praying for them. I know a farmer who was very early in the morning, and then I have to go out in prayer in this priestly watchfulness. Though he was sitting in his room, let us be around a lot as faithful shepherds, under shepherds who watch their flock. Now we come to the seventh point. God's servants are willing to be covered with dust. They are prepared to go through the dirty streets. We cannot keep our clothes fine. We have to sometimes accept blows here and there as replacing. You, brother or sister, will perhaps have to be deprived of people that you love. You will have to suffer certain things which you would not have to suffer if you were not a servant of God. There are sorrows and there is suffering to which you are exposed. When after months of sickness and suffering, we had to give up our child, we very frequently thought, why has not God performed the miracle and saved the child for whom we prayed? But in later years, people told us, you understand our feelings. You have gone through the same suffering. You know what it means to lose a child, and those are small things as compared to what we have heard in these days, what some people have suffered for the sake of Jesus Christ. And therefore, I say, God's servants are people who walk through dusty, dirty streets for others, and who also in their watchfulness towards those who are below them have a certain ability of their own. Let me give you the example of Bodenschwing. You can read it. The example when a louse from the flock of an old lag which comes to you is more is of greater value than the decoration the emperor gave you. This is something of the tree nobility of those who walk in dust. And this brings me to the end. In our days, fewer and fewer people come to the church. Therefore, evangelism becomes of very great importance. Therefore, it is so important that you live out your Christian faith in the everyday life, in the street, in your home, in your profession, and wherever you are. Lived out Christianity, not in the sense of a sort of parrot-like preaching, not arrogant in any way in the spirit of the Pharisees, but in the spirit which has been expressed, that through our work it should be made easier for others to find Jesus Christ and to remain with him. Servants of God, helpers of joy, hosts of the gospel, stewards with the authority to distribute, oarsmen in Christ's boat, under architects in a building section, under shepherds of the great shepherd, and deacons, workers in dust, representative of ghosts, so that through us the blessings of Christ may be proclaimed, and that through our work it may be easier for others to come to Jesus and to stay with Jesus. Amen.